The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by DraftKings here live at Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander and it's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy on this Friday. How you doing, man? Good?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good. Got a good show. Felica, Paul Carr on soccer, Jason Weingarten, Jordan Sherwood on UFC, JP Acosta on the NFL. We'll get into all of that. Kelly and I will continue NFL Props Week, where this time we talk about most points and fewest points scored. We'll do that. Tennis update real quick. Yesterday hit in what has otherwise been a disastrous tournament for me, a bit of a silver lining. Hit Barbora Krejcikova yesterday at plus 377, plus had her plus 4.5. So that was a huge match for us. Krejcikova beats Rybakina, the women's final at Wimbledon. Krejcikova versus Paolini. I just want to say this because Drew Dinsick and I do Beating the Book Slams podcast for each of the tennis slams, each of the majors. And Wimbledon is the one where we just sort of laugh at because it's grass season. If Krejcikova wins, it will be the second year in a row where we did not even mention the winner's name on the preview podcast. And we say it just like, we just throw our hands up in the air like, Vekic versus Krejcikova. First of all, nobody posted that. If I asked Drew yesterday via text, I was like, if that was a pre-flop matchup, I said, what would the number be? He goes, my fair price was like 25,000 to one.
Yeah, I saw him tweeting about it yesterday. and again, listening to him all day, like me just learning yesterday, listening to one of his podcasts, that Krejcikova just avoided grass for like 4 or 5 years. Like, it's just incredible to me.
She played doubles back in like 2016, 2017, but she did not play singles basically until 2021. She just avoided playing singles
there.
That's
wild.
Yeah. And Paolini didn't have a grass win before this year. So, I mean, what are we doing with that term? Anyway, yeah. So it's Krejcikova, and congratulations to everybody who tailed, because that was a huge win for us yesterday. Silver lining, as I said. Today, I had the over in this Alcaraz-Medvedev match. Good start. Medvedev won the first set in a tiebreaker. Carlitos up a break in the second. So far, so good. We'll see. Looks good unless someone crushes the other one in sets 3 and 4.
Yeah, I mean, 7-6 is an awesome start for you, right?
Yeah, it's a good start. And then the only thing left today is I took Lorenzo Musetti plus the games, plus 6.5 games in the match against Novak Djokovic. No chance I would take Musetti on the money line, but I did take him plus 6.5 games against the great Novak later today. That's the only thing left at Wimbledon. I want to start today, Kelly, if I could, with something that we did yesterday, which is I talked about Tom Tango's Cy Young tracker and that I had made a bet on Seth Lugo of the Royals at 13-1 and 14-1 to win the American League Cy Young, and I cited the fact that Tom Tango's Cy Young tracker has Lugo by margin in the lead on the American League side of things. And it's a tried and true formula where he has called 12 of the 14 eventual winners. A lot of views, tons of views on this. But I want to shout out and I want to thank Mook_franchise. He was not happy with the segment. And I think it was a great reminder for me that the Marvin Gaye sexual healing principle should apply here. Let me explain. I used to be a radio DJ and music side of things, and I once worked for what was considered at that time an oldies station, oldies in quotes. But we played the same songs over and over and over again. And so the DJs themselves, like me, that were playing them, we got sick of the songs. But the program director, the late Michael Erickson, always reminded us. He goes, just remember, someone's punching in for the first time every yep. time you play Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing. So I thank Mookie. Mookie's problem with it was, he was like, hey, he goes, did it predict 12 of the 14 last winners in the middle of July? And he had a real problem with this. So I've never been accused of not over-explaining something, so this is a rare opportunity for me to actually go back and be more thorough. So thank you, Mookie. I appreciate it. No, it doesn't predict it in the middle of July. But we're talking about value here. So if he was 2-1, if Seth Lugo was 2-1 or 3-1 in the betting market, it would not trigger a play. But at 13-1 or 14-1, Tango's tracker juxtaposed against the betting market, it's absolutely a play for me. Now, to your point, I could have been more thorough about it, though. And so for those who are just landing for the first time, what I could have added was this. I hope people understand that that means it's not a lock, right? Nor did I suggest that it was, but in case you misinterpret, wow, he bet it, therefore it must be. He must think Seth Lugo is absolutely going to win this. No, it's just like betting, I don't know, let's take on a nightly basis, the Tiger. The Tigers are good now to some extent. Let's say I'm taking the White Sox at plus 280 on a given night in Major League Baseball. I don't necessarily think if I'm betting the White Sox, they're going to win the game outright. But if I think they should be, I don't know, plus 150 as opposed to plus 280, that indicates value. And so that's what I'm doing with Seth Lugo, using Tom Tango's tracker as a crutch for this. 13-1 or 14-1, not only is he leading in the tracker, but he's winning it by margin. That's a bet that I think has value. The other part that I could have added, and again, shout out to Mookie for reminding me of the Marvin Gaye principle here, is Seth Lugo actually does have some advanced metrics that indicate poor regression, right? He has a very fortunate BABIP. He has a fortunate home run to fly ball rate. And he also, third one, quite frankly, his underlying metrics also include a strand rate that is higher than normal. Now, those things can regress. He may actually end up Those things may end up manifesting. He may have some poor performances, and he may not end up winning the Cy Young. But I considered the price where you could get him now, 13 or 14 to 1, as still worth a bet. Because, as we know from the Blake Snell experience from last year, sometimes they don't regress when you think they're going to, and they regress the following season when you wear a San Francisco Giants uniform. So anyway, just wanted to clarify that. I wanted to shout out Mookie. By the way, always accepting of the criticism, as long as you're cool about it. Mookie was totally cool about it, so I appreciate it. By the way, and at one point, Mookie also suggested I was just doing it to fill content, which I have to say, I resented that because, Kelly, if I was just here filling content, I would have a dancing lady from a drug commercial helping you get your A1Cs down. That's who I would have on the show. I would never do that. So please, Mook, come on. Now, the great Tom Tango. This is awesome because, just a reference, Annie Hall was this great Woody Allen movie from 1975, and one of the great scenes in that movie, and I've used this to describe Roxy Roxborough, the great Roxy Roxborough, the founder of Las Vegas Sports Consultants. When he comes on the show, I always say he's my Marshall McLuhan. Marshall McLuhan was a Canadian philosopher. There's a scene in Annie Hall where Woody Allen is annoyed in his neurotic way by these two people arguing about something. And he's like, let me bring, he brings Marshall McLuhan from behind a curtain, and McLuhan tells the two people off. And then Woody Allen looks at the camera and goes, if only life were like this. So Marshall McLuhan, in this case, is Tom Tango himself. And Tango chimed in on, I was DMing with him too yesterday, but he chimed in on the thread because people were wondering. Paul Skeens yesterday threw 7 no-hit innings in the Pirates' win, a 1-0 win over the Brewers. By the way, a lot of people were upset that they took him out and didn't give him a shot at the full game no-hitter. But, you know, he was teetering on 100 pitches, and they're not gonna just, you know, risk anything with him. I know some people have, you know, there's varying opinions on the subject, but that was their thinking, and I get it.
I think like 6-7 years ago, I would have been angry that they took him out. But now we get no hitters like, you know, twice a week.
I was angry when like Clayton Kershaw had a perfect game in Colorado. Yes. Like, okay, it's Clayton Kershaw. You can keep him going, and it's a perfect game for God's sakes. But not on a rookie pitcher. He was way over his pace on pitches. So folks were wondering, all right, well, you got to bet Paul Skeens for Cy Young now in the National League. Well, Marshall McLuhan, Mr. Tom Tango in this case, chimed in on a couple of these. So someone was asking, by the way, Skeens crashed to 11-1 in the NL Cy Young market in the National League. He's fourth. He's the fourth short shot. And Tom Tango said this at Tango Tiger. He says, if you double Skeens' stats, this is after the 7 innings of no-hit ball yesterday. If you double Skeens' stats, you get Carlos Rodon in 2021. I believe Rodon was playing for the White Sox at that time, who finished fifth behind the highlighted players, Andy Eovaldi. He has a chart there where he shows the highlighted players. All you really need to know for this purpose is he finished fifth. He says, I think the reality is qualifying for ERA title is a big deal. A voter is going to be hard-pressed to put such a pitcher first or second on their ballot. Someone else chimed in then about, well, do you think he can get to 150 innings pitched? And Tango chimed in on that as well with a subsequent tweet where he says it's a tall order to get him to 150. He has 12 or 13 starts left. He's averaging 6 innings pitched per game, maxed out at 7. You have to give him, let's say if we do the exercise of 6.5 innings, we get it. There's not 6.5. It's 6 1/3, 2 1/3. But let's just say for the purposes of the math, 6.5 times 13, that's 84 innings to add to his current 66, and that would be 150 at best case. Tango says he's more likely to finish at around 140. So totally appreciate not only Mookie for making the comments about the segment, but also Tom Tango for chiming in on listeners' questions about Skeens specifically. And so I think the rush yesterday, you know, it's one thing. Will Hill, for instance, our buddy Will Hill,
yeah,
he has Skeens to win the Cy Young Award. This goes back to our value conversation from before. He has Skeens to win it at 100-1.
Oh.
I would never tell you not to bet it at 100-1, right? Because that represents value.
I wondered why he was tweeting about it yesterday.
If you at 11-1, I can't recommend it for the reasons that Tom Tango stated. So I just hope that's a – so thank you again to Mookie, because that's a good lesson in sort of knowing that I can't assume – we have a numbers game. Listeners are the best in the game. I've said it many times, and I mean it. I'm not just blowing smoke. And it's probably the most sophisticated audience, right? So I still should not assume that everyone got every nuance of that. So,
and that's also when we went through this the other day. It was, I mean, because of what, you know, Tango's formula is, right, for those points, Skeens wasn't anywhere up there because it does involve innings pitched.
That's right. And as bettors, and I'll raise my hand because I've done it many times, we tend to want to think other things are more important than others. And these voters, they're as simpleton as they come sometimes, most of the time, actually. We'll come back. Paul Carr on soccer next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our all-new special edition of betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide, this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code ANG.
ANG like a new graphic if you're watching at home. Boom!
To get 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199, gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code ANG. By the way, Felica texted in, was talking about Paolini versus Vekic. He says, it is an astonishing achievement for Paolini. I don't know if this is his words or if he's copy and pasting. He says, it's an astonishing achievement for Paolini, who had not won a tour-level match on grass until 15 days ago in Eastbourne. Had one of the tune-ups to Wimbledon and lost in the first round on her previous 3 visits to Wimbledon.
That's insane. That is insane.
And then Krejcikova didn't even play it for many years until 2021.
Yeah.
And 2021 was her best finish at Wimbledon. She got to the 4th round. She had never gotten that far since. So there you go. Anyway, by the way, I should point out that me and Felica were oppo on the women's final. I am on Krejcikova. VSiN.com/picks. All host, all guests, all of their picks. I took Krejcikova at -139. He likes Jasmine Paolini. By the way, Jasmine Paolini, adorable, gracious in defeat at the French Open, charming as all get out. She's just wonderful.
Has won over the fans.
Oh, she's tremendous. I don't think she'll win, but we'll see. Second straight slam final for Paolini.
I mean, we were on the air, right? But we were getting tweets about the whole crowd cheered for, and like poor Vekic just like crying
weeping
through the match.
Just crying
pain and all these types of things.
By the way, that match yesterday, that match started an hour and a half before we got on air, and it ended a half hour before we got off. 3-hour match.
When I was back home doing work, I caught Fowler just mentioned something. I was like, oh yeah, these matches were
amazing.
Like, I think he said 5.5 hours between the two of them.
Yeah.
Is what it ended up being. I was like, yeah, that is a long day of tennis.
Great day of tennis. And Krejcikova winning it made it great for us. We've split the first two sets here. Alcaraz does come back, win the second set 6-3 as they begin the third. Paul Carr joins us, ladies and gentlemen, to talk soccer because we got a couple big tournament finals at both Euro 2024 and Copa America. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. And, of course, he's with True Media Networks and the host of the Expected Value podcast. Paulie, how you doing, man?
Gil, I and my guys have sent 83 sets of game notes for all the Euro and Copa games, so life is wonderful.
So you have two left? That's it?
No, we're done. That's it.
You're
that's
done?
All.
Wow.
Send them all.
How pumped are you right now?
Last night when I sent them, I'm alone in my office. I can't really, go high five anybody, but I'm kind of running around my office and yelling as much as I can without waking up the family.
This child is like, what is dad doing?
Yeah. He's just done with the game notes. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. He's got something called game notes. How long does it take you to do one game note? Just give us an idea.
It's a collaboration with me and two of my guys, but it's probably the first ones are probably 4 to 6 hours, and then it's between 2 and 4 hours total between the two or three of us for each additional one.
Jeez. Okay.
But you do a lot of prep in advance. You know the group head-to-heads that you can do in advance. You obviously know the tournament histories you can do in advance. So there's a whole process of, the whole 6 months before where you're just kind of piecing things together to make it easier in tournament.
Well, good for you. You deserve a vacation. You taking a vacation? Yes.
I'm going to U.S. women's game next week to work for Turner, and then I'm taking 2 weeks off. So, yes.
Yes.
Nice. And then what? The FA Cup begins, right? Like, right away?
Premier League starts Tuesday.
Oh, there you go.
There's Olympic soccer, and then the Premier League does start August 16th or so. So, yeah, soccer does not stop.
Where does Paul Carr go vacation, by the way?
So my daughter is very into American history. So we're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to see the sights.
Hey.
And then probably also find a lake and crash somewhere once we come back.
All right. Just know that they shove you through the White House. It takes about 5 minutes. So just
we look forward
don't,
to being
don't get offended.
Through.
Don't get offended. Okay.
All right. Wait, what?
Yeah, the White House tour is like.
What do they rush? They rush it?
They just get through it.
We've got the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a schedule. And you get the email of like, here's how we'll be here within. We're going to do this. It's very. Seems very organized.
It was quick when I was a kid. I can't imagine now with extra security what it's like now.
It takes four times as long, but you see the same type of stuff.
Maybe so. All right, before we get to the Copa final and the Euro final, this gives us an opportunity. I love when this comes up. Mm-hmm. Copa still plays. Do we call it a consolation game, or do we call it a third-place game? What is the technical term here?
Third place match is officially what most of the tournaments call it, yeah.
Okay, let me just ask you a very simple question, and I just want you to lean in for this. Why? Why do we do this?
For Copa, it's pretty simple. Money.
Yeah.
Because you're going to, I don't know if they'll sell out. They're playing it in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium. I don't know if they'll sell it out, but you're going to sell another, 40, 50,000 tickets.
Are you?
So,
are you? Are really 40,000, 50,000 people showing up for this?
Uruguay. They had a pretty good following even just here in Kansas City. Canada is probably not bringing in the crowds the same way, but I think they just get one more round of tickets and all the money that comes with that.
Now, as you look at this graphic, and for anybody at home, this is literally Kelly just making up names for the two games. Same thing. I was confused, and I'm like, is this a third place game? Like,
that's
I don't know. They don't get medals, but I'm going to write that, and then I'm going to put final for the championship game or final, because I don't know what you call that either.
Hey, you get a good run.
And they will get, third place team will get medals usually.
They do get a medal.
Oh, they get a medal. Okay.
Oh, okay. There you go. They get a medal, Kelly.
Did not know that.
Get a bronze medal. Wait, so this is the third place game is tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare handicap Canada and Uruguay?
The short answer is no. There's so many questions. Who's going to play? If you saw the Uruguay-Colombia after the game, Uruguay players went into the stands. They said to defend their families from Colombia fans. We don't know who may or may not be suspended from that yet. So, yeah, I'm not touching this from a side standpoint. I'm probably going to play over 2.5. It's around minus 125 now, just because most third place games, I think it's 9 out of 14, have had at least 3 goals. They tend to be open, as you would kind of expect these games to be, with the stakes relatively low. So I'll probably end up sprinkling on that, but there is not a side that I'm looking to touch, at least until lineups are out.
Hey, Paul, for that game, what do they do after 90 minutes? Because I couldn't find a mark. Like, is it just over then? Like, can there be a...
I believe they go to penalty kicks, straight to penalties.
They do that in Copa anyway.
Have extra time. Yeah, the final will have extra time.
Yeah.
If need be before penalties, but every other match goes straight to penalties.
I just couldn't find a market for them of like, you know, the, yeah. who would advance or something like that.
In
you know?
Copa, with the exception of the final, they just go right to kicks no matter what. All right, so then Sunday, the final, Argentina and Colombia. Argentina plus 110. The draw is plus 195. Colombia plus 320 on the three-way.
I mean, that's a tempting number on Colombia. I mean, I think Argentina is the better team here. But I think the prices you're going to get on Colombia are pretty nice. Lionel Messi's not 100%. That's pretty clear. Most of his, you look at his attacking numbers the last couple games after he may tweak something, they're much lower than his first two games. And most of his the offense that he's generated was in two games against Canada, which will just defend and bunker in ways that Colombia won't. Now, Argentina has plenty of other good players, don't get me wrong. But Messi is still Messi and kind of makes them hum. Colombia's defense is pretty good. They have really done well at preventing opponents getting good shots. And while their attack hasn't been as good numbers-wise, they've also had a tougher path to the final, playing Brazil and Uruguay. Personally, I have a Colombia future that I'm riding here. Plus 1,400. Let's get it. If I were to play this, I would play Colombia. I saw plus 165 out there this morning on them to lift the cup. So that's the way I would look if I were looking for it. I just think, you know, this is more than a 60-40 game as far as Colombia is concerned. So you get plus north of plus 150 on it. I'm pretty happy about that.
All right. No Alexi Lalas after the game will have something to say about tears and tension and emotion and passion.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Love the drum.
England, Spain, Euros. What do you got?
Ooh. Man, this is a pretty good one. We actually saw this matchup a year ago in the Women's World Cup final. Spain beat England there. I think we see the same thing here. I mean, it's kind of simple. You know, Spain is the best team at the tournament. There's really no question. Part of that is just because they actually seem interested in attacking. You know, they scored twice against Germany. They scored twice against France. Whereas England has just kind of been scraping out these games. You know, all three knockout games, they conceded first and then had to score late to either tie it up or win. But Spain is just better. I like them to win. This is the three-way money line plus 145. So that's a 90-minute bet. I think that's a pretty solid price. Should be a pretty good game, though. I mean, England's probably not going to open up, but Spain has the patience and the players and the ability to break them down and get a goal. And as we saw against France, they didn't get one goal and then just sit there. They went and got another one immediately a few minutes later. So I like Spain to win this one outright, plus 145. You can see I've seen plus 150s this morning stripped in that way.
All right, Spain plus 145 versus England. That's the daytime game, if you will, on Sunday. And then at night, Colombia to lift the trophy plus 145 versus Argentina. Do I have those times correct? Sunday afternoon, Sunday night? Yes?
Sounds right to me. Afternoon and night, yes.
And don't forget, third place match on Saturday. We'll all be tuned in for that one.
Get your popcorn.
Yeah, you can forget if you want.
Uruguay, Canada. Throw out the records when those two match up. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. We'll come back. NFL, most points, least points, next.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Have you checked out our website, VSiN.com? If you haven't, what are you doing? Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. On the front page today, everything, man. A little something for everyone. JVT on NBA Summer League. Nigel Seeley on Euros 2024. Mike Somich with Saratoga Best Bets. Samo bombing.
Boom.
It's Saratoga. Zach Cohen's got his Wimbledon plays. Adam Burke on the Great American Getaway 400. NASCAR, baby. Adam Burke doing it all. All at VSiN.com. Check it out. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, by the way. Bar Canada here at the D. Maracanada, for those listening in Spanish, the barrage.
Can I give JVT a shout-out real quick?
Please, absolutely.
Go to his Twitter account. If you're looking to bet Summer League, go to JVT's Twitter account. He has compiled every single Summer League roster into one spreadsheet, which is not easy work because they're not like...
That is good effort right there.
Yeah, these things are not easily accessible. I don't have a bet as far as the futures. I do like to bet some of those games, especially when we're in arena, like what JVT was talking about the other day. Sometimes you can be there in the arena and be like, I don't see player X, Y, and Z who are some of their best players. Maybe I should bet the other side.
Right.
That story JVT told the other day, that was one of the greatest bets of my life. I just wish I would have, like, you know, 10X'd it, you know what I mean, or whatever maximum books are going to take on a summer league.
Was that the Scoot Henderson day? Was that the same day?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't. But we were sitting there in the stands doing work. And we're like, This Pistons team sure looks like they're missing a few guys. And like, JVT's like, I'm going to go down there and check it out. And we're like, okay, they're missing like three of their best players. Like, let's hammer this other side.
It's a beautiful thing.
He's got all the rosters there. So for people looking for that stuff, you got to know who's playing. Like, the Pelicans just released theirs, I believe, yesterday, of what their actual summer league roster is. Kind of laugh when I see people running to make bets, and you're like, you don't even know who all is playing for every team.
JVT, when he was on the show talking summer league, did mention the Jazz and the Grizzlies, but that's before, again, knowing everybody who's playing for
Correct,
everyone.
Yeah. So, at least those teams had started already in California and Salt Lake City.
That's right. The old Salt Lake City pre-summer league, summer league.
I never understand that.
You think they take pride in it like Vegas takes pride in ours?
Okay, so yes.
Yeah.
And it's... I love that you brought this up, because I was kind of geeking out about this the other day. Like, where do you see all the broadcasters all like in like branded uniforms, right? Like Salt Lake City Summer League or whatever. I'm like, they play like four games over 2 days.
Yeah, it's very strange.
We're really going
super quick
on it. Yeah.
Yeah. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I always appreciate the feedback. Mark Hansen. I totally understand your discussion with Crack yesterday about casinos closing. My wife and I loved staying at Barbary Coast. Even though the Cromwell is beautiful, we don't even walk through the place. Yeah, I was mentioning that I can't go into Virgin. Not that I really have a reason to go to Virgin unless there's some random concert there. But it gives me, I don't know, I get really strange feeling when I go in there now post-Hard Rock. I spent so much time in that building when it was the Hard Rock. Now I feel, you know what it is? It's like the party, my childhood is over and the party is over. And so I get that kind of rush, I think.
Yeah, plus
I don't like it.
I don't know about you, but that place specifically, I've been in it one time since COVID. It was for a concert, which I think you've been to, right?
I have not gone.
You haven't, though. Yeah. Okay. So I went there one time for a concert. But other than that, like, I don't know about you, but back during COVID, like, we had to go get shots. Like, it was down at the convention center with National Guard all around you, and that's right across the street. You're like, I don't know. Like, that's always going to remind me of that.
Oh, that's interesting. Brian Schaefer, who called Medvedev to win this tournament, he objected to the fact that I said when Medvedev beats Sinner, I go, well, you know, like, if you could pick who's gotten injured, if you could determine who was going to get injured, gassed, or ill during matches in this tournament, that's the best handicap you could have. I guess he got offended by that. I didn't mean to disparage your play of Medvedev. Good job. He got to the semis. So he wrote this morning, he goes, we'll see how it plays out. If he beats Alcaraz, that's all hogwash. Well, set a piece. Alcaraz right now up a break in the third, so we shall see. By the way, I do need Medvedev to be competitive here so we can get my over home, 39.5. David, haven't you made a wager that was graded as a loss? I guess he's just asking me, curious. But have video footage showing otherwise where your bet should be a winner? I don't have video footage of that. That might be Spanky you're thinking about right there. Let's see. Trust the glove. Is the mathematical limit of tennis games played in a five-set match 63? No, it is 65. He said, has it ever happened in a pro match? 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, or 6-7s, you get it. Not that I know of.
Good questions.
Yeah, not that I know of, by the way. He said there was a 2018 Wimbledon match that got to 62 games. Yeah. Isner, of course. You know, Isner, of course, having the longest match of all time, famously, when they didn't have tiebreakers for the final set. Lasted 3 days. Rich Copro, I'm listening to a numbers game and watching Wimbledon. Life is good. And then primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. I'm sorry. That first segment of you explaining value versus lock for me was akin to Homer Simpson listening to Mrs. Crabapple at parent-teacher conferences. Blah, 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 wah, wah, wah. Which segment will have today's lock of the century? That's what we need. Yeah, Mookie didn't like it. That's why I had to do it. He also says, do your listeners not know that tango and cash go together? See what he did there? Thank you, Primetime.
Well done.
You should have chimed in, not me. Teasers and parlays. It may have been discussed before, but if Skeens is in the mix towards the end, will voters give him both Rookie of the Year and Cy Young? That gave me another hesitation to bet him for Cy, since he's -650 for Rookie of the Year. 100%.
That's a great call. Yeah.
That's the quickest explanation of it. I didn't want to be that curt about it, but yes. The answer is they will be very hesitant to give him both. And then Stringfellow Hawk, talking about the third place game, he says, I took Canada 5-1 versus Uruguay. The matches in Charlotte where Uruguay just lost in the semis and the fight in the stands. They probably just want to get out of town. You know what? You might be right.
Yep.
NFL, most points, least points. We start with most points. Where are the Falcons, Kelly? The Falcons have the easiest schedule, and they were the first team I thought of, and they're not on the board at least 15-1 or shorter.
Oh, great question. Let me look.
So that would be the first team I would think about if you're looking for value in this. Full disclosure, I have not bet this, but at least that was my first instinct. We're showing 10 teams that are shorter than them. Niners being the short shot at 5-1, followed by the Lions at plus 550. A lot of people go with the Lions here. And I get why both of those two teams are the short shot, but I wouldn't bet it at those numbers. Let's put it this way.
That is, Falcons are 40-1.
Bro, you got
4-0-1.
Kirk Cousins and a fleet of skill position players. I would, if I'm betting anything in this market, that's what I'm betting.
Now, just to recap, a couple things from last year. This is a little bit of it's an interesting market to me. I've never bet one of these before, but I did, I was thinking about it yesterday, and I'm like, this is kind of an alternative way of betting, like win totals or something. If you didn't want to get, points scored, maybe you get robbed at the end by a close game for a win or a loss.
Or you have nothing to play for in week 18.
Exactly. Yeah. So most points scored last season, Cowboys 509, Dolphins 496. I should probably put my phone on mute. It's my first show. Sorry. 49ers 491, Ravens 485, Lions 461. So those are your top five scoring teams. If you want to go by pace or most plays per game, it was Cleveland, Dallas, Detroit, Buffalo, New Orleans last year. So the two teams that are in that top five on both of those would be the Cowboys and the Lions.
What category was this?
That was most plays per game.
Most plays per game.
So Cleveland, Dallas, Detroit, Buffalo, New Orleans is how that went. So the two crossovers between most plays and then most points were Dallas and Detroit.
Okay.
Makes sense from what you saw a year ago. That's why they're as short as they are. Although Cowboys, not quite as short as I guess I thought they'd be, but still some question marks, I guess, over what that offense is going to look like with some of these contracts.
I haven't bet this because we don't have this in Nevada. If I was, I would take the 40-1 shot on the Falcons. I will say this. Anything in any of these props we're doing that are like between 5-1 and 6-1, my instinct is to say that they're not short enough. The exception, though, was what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
The Patriots at 6-1 to be the last winless, to me, is still a great bet. Like, I could not talk myself off that. I tried. I couldn't. Not as sexy as last year's 15-1.
I do think your point, too, of the it matters who you're going to play, you know, in division. And it's like the Lions should be short. They should probably be one of the short shots here.
But why aren't the Falcons short?
No, I know. But like that, that division got a whole lot tougher, right? Like it's tougher overall. Tampa has a decent defense, but then what else are we talking about here? Carolina, New Orleans? Like, we're going crazy over them?
Odds to score least points. No surprise, the Patriots are the short shot. And in this category, I'll just end it quick. You could make a case for the Broncos and the Raiders and the Panthers, even the by the way, I would have wanted the Steelers to be way longer than that, but like they're hip to the Steelers here at 8-1.
Yeah, they are.
So I would have no bet here. I would have no opinion.
So the most points one was way more interesting to me in
way
that
more.
One.
Yeah.
Cause like you kind of just said,
yeah.
This one feels incredibly properly priced
Correct.
To me. And
I agree.
I think I'd be shocked if it isn't one of these teams, and I don't know which.
I don't know
but
which.
I think it's one of those teams that's in the single digits, anywhere from Patriots to Titans.
But there's no chance you can talk yourself into a bet on any of these, because it could be any of them. There was nothing here. The Patriots, Broncos, Raiders, Panthers, Steelers, Titans, Giants. Interestingly, the Browns are the next team.
Yeah.
Shorter than the Chargers and the Commanders. So how are the Chargers only 22-1 for least points? I mean, how are they that short? I guess is what I'm saying.
Because they shipped off all their skill position guys.
They're gonna be fine. No play there. But if I had to play something in the most points, I think I would take the long shot on the Falcons at 40. What did you say? 40-1.
40-1. Yeah.
Yeah. But full disclosure, no bets at this point. Felica, Weingarten, we got a whole bunch more to talk about. It's all coming up on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at Bar Canada, rather, at the D. I don't know where I was going there.
Car Banada
here at the D. Carbanada, as they say in Spanish, I believe. Carlitos still up a break in the third set. Come on, Medvedev. Just win random games so we can hit the over here. So if this ends 6-4, what is that, 13, 22, 32, then we will simply need Medvedev to win two games to cash, two games in set four to cash the over. Okay?
Looking pretty good.
All right, looking good. Ladies and gentlemen, when he was on the show mere, what was it, 2 days ago, he had no facial hair whatsoever. Now, not quite a full beard, but certainly no one would ever accuse him of being clean-shaven just 2 days ago. It's Jason Weingarten, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Spreadopedia. What's happening?
Good morning. You know, just getting ready for the All-Star break. Every year I say I'm going to be on a plane for the final pitch of the All-Star break, and I'll be on a plane tonight, so I'm 2 days ahead this year.
Where are you going?
Hamptons, baby.
Oh, look at this guy.
Yeah, look
Paul
at this
Carr
guy.
Going to D.C. to help his daughter with history, and Jason going to the Hamptons to hang out with who? All the celebs.
What's the most expensive pair of shoes you bring, Jason?
Sandals, actually. My rainbow sandals will be the most expensive pair of shoes I'm bringing.
All right, we got a lot to get to, but I want to get to this first because I neglected to do so last time. Kelly, so bravely, once again off air, saying we got to talk about this claw machine update. What's the story,
Claudia? She's good.
He named it.
Claudia Clausen is her full name, actually.
All right, you bought a carnival grade claw machine, and you're actually where are you putting it?
Marijuana store.
Oh, there we go.
What's in the machine? What are you tempting people with?
That's for the store to give me their product. We're gonna put it in the machine. Some days you're going to be able to just, you know, dollar play, see what you could win. And other days they're going to use it free play for promos, you know, spend $100 or whatever, get a free spin. I will be renting them the machine. They will be, operating it. So
I was going to ask how you're making, he's renting them the machine. Genius.
He's on to something.
Man is a genius.
The claw machine goes back, what, 30 years now, 40 years, but there's still casinos, dispensaries, whatever we talk. There's so many still uses still for the claw machine for promotional purposes. Jason, I think this is real genius.
Yeah, I mean the key is essentially to get a high foot traffic location, and then everything else takes care of the rest if you're doing it properly. But again, I'm a beginner in this, so I'm still learning. Should be fun though. I enjoy doing it. And special thanks to Nas Reed, who is funding this endeavor.
You can put the little bottles of liquor in there, you know, like the mini bar bottles.
We should really let Nas know about this. I'm sure he'll be really thrilled about it.
Yeah.
You got to do some kind of show inside the mind of Jason Weingarten. You greeted us this morning off air by telling us a little gambling story from this morning. Would you like to share with everyone?
Yeah, I woke up. It's about an hour and a half ago, maybe slightly later. I saw Moldova was playing. What was it? I can't even remember. Sweden.
Wait. Before Sweden. You continue, tell everybody where you were.
I was on the toilet.
Okay, continue.
Looking at the golf, checking the Scottish Open, seeing what was going on in France with the women, and I saw there was a Euro basketball tournament, and Moldova was an 87.5-point underdog going into the fourth quarter. I think they were down about 65 points at that point. And like I said, the Sweden, I don't know anything about Sweden under 20, but I assume...
Oh, we lost Jason in the middle of that. Oh, man.
Right at the crux of the story.
Anyway, bottom line is he used the old, I mean, you got to beat me. Oh, you're back. Okay, continue because we lost you. You basically were like, well, you got to beat me by 88. How many were they down by at that point?
About 60. Final score I saw, let's see, it was 114-35. So
only lost by 79. Right. Yeah, it's a winner.
Stuck in the back door. But yeah, you know, like you were saying, like I like to say, take 87.5 points, you got to beat me by 88. So.
If someone gives you 87.5 points, you take it.
Moldova scored by quarter. They had 4 in the first, 7 in the second, 10 in the third, and a whopping 14 in the fourth to get the cover home for Jason.
Good job, Moldova. Got better as the game went on. All right. Okay, I want to ask you this, and I'm going to, again, state this. We do this apolitically. Jason and I have been talking about election betting from the dawn of time on this show. I just want to get your thought on, do you believe, just your opinion, do you believe it is imminent that the president pulls out of the race or as the presumptive candidate of the Democratic Party, or do you believe he stays in at this point?
Seems that he has, you know, done the calculus and decided that he would rather stay than hand off to Kamala Harris. So it's very hard to say, you know, what do you think they're going to do? Obviously, I know what I think they should do. But it seems like Biden has decided that he's entrenched and he's the best option. So I don't see him stepping aside. I do find this market incredibly unusual. You know, you have Kamala Harris and Biden essentially priced the same right now. The incumbent president is, you know, being told the market is telling the incumbent president that, you know, we don't believe in you. So, you know, I do keep that in mind, but it's very hard to say that something's imminent because by all accounts they're entrenched and they're not changing their mind. So it's very interesting.
It is. It's fascinating. It really is. And one would think that if he were to say he is not running, that it would have to happen here. And when I say sooner, I mean super sooner than later. But right now he is the guy to, you know, he believes himself to be the best candidate. That is what he is saying publicly. You have Newsom 150-1, right? What else do you have?
Newsom 150 and 50. I'm not really optimistic that those are going to come through, but they were good numbers when I got them. I bet those, you know, easily 6-9 months ago, yeah. Probably even late.
And that is to win the presidency, not the nomination, just to be clear.
Presidency. But if he gets the nomination, I'd be sitting in a good spot.
You would
those,
be. So. Yeah, we'll see. The drama will unfold with the Republican convention starting this Monday. All right, baseball, what did you land on today?
I bet the Yankees minus 121 with Gerrit Cole on the mound. I think that's a good price going into the All-Star break with Cole getting back to full health. And I got the Astros minus 137. My nemesis, Hunter Brown. I've been on both of his blowups this year. He's a weird dude. He's been pitching really great, except the couple games he hasn't that I've bet on him, but I'm back on him today. That's it for baseball. Two plays.
This brings up an interesting though. We've talked about this for years. The All-Star break makes baseball season quirky. I often said that after the All-Star break, even if I was having a great first half of the season, something in that second half of July, where I don't know if it was teams just lollygagging back, they just weren't playing the same way, they weren't using the same lineups, whatever it was, my handicapping sort of went out the window for a couple weeks. Like, it just got really bad in that window. Some people think it's before the All-Star break. I just want to point out a few records of, you know, teams that we all seem to think are great teams in the month of July thus far. The Baltimore Orioles are 4-5 with a minus 25 run differential thus far in the month of July. The Dodgers are 3-6 with a minus 29 run differential so far in the month of July. And the Yankees are 2-7 with, oh, by the way, minus 3, that's it, run differential in the month of July. Do you find your handicapping gets more out of whack before the All-Star break, after the All-Star break, or you haven't noticed any difference?
I haven't noticed before the All-Star break. I do think there is definitely something to be said that players, you know, right before the All-Star break are pretty excited about the week off and time to reset and kind of get healthy. The farther you go in baseball season, most players are playing at under 100%. So, you know, the break is pretty beneficial to everybody. And it's not surprising that, you know, you take almost a week off baseball, you might be slow coming back for a couple days. I never really find a problem pre or post All-Star break. My issue tends to arise in September when the rosters expand. Then my win percent goes significantly down and I bet a lot less baseball.
Interesting. I have never had that trouble in September, and I've heard you say that about September before, but September to me gets... Because I think you have to go almost a little brain dead in September. Like, you just sort of have to say, okay, certain teams are still trying here and others aren't. But that's interesting that it's not as – that's where the trouble lies for you as opposed to post or pre-All-Star break. Jason, always appreciate it. Glad you hit the Moldova bet. Well done, sir.
Thank you. It's always the best way to start your Friday morning is with Euro baskets.
And enjoy the Hamptons, man. Be safe.
Thank you. See you guys next week.
Jason Weingarten, living the life, going to the Hamptons. You ever been to the Hamptons?
Nope.
Neither have I. I'm not really sure what all the fuss is about.
Feels like a place you got to be invited to.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Maybe that's why we haven't gone. Coming back with Chris Felica next.